Is your team not performing well? Is morale low and turnover high? Are you falling further behind the competition? I'm here to help. I'm your host, Shani, and this is the Leadership Show, where business strategy and culture finally meet, and we make the long-awaited shift from rhetoric to results. I promise I'm not your typical boring leadership consultant, and I will help you get your shift together. Let's do this. Welcome, Leadershifters. I'm Shani, the host of the Leadership Show, and today it is my privilege to have on our show today Leslie Lewin. Leslie is the executive director of an organization you're going to want to know more about. It's called Seeds of Peace. Let me just set the table for you for a second. I hear a lot of people complaining about their colleagues or their bosses. Someone's a jerk. Someone's can't be trusted. Someone's an asshole. You know, I don't get along with this customer or whatever. Well, by the time you listen to Leslie speak, I think for just a few minutes, you'll appreciate just how lucky you are, because those conflicts are nothing compared to the kinds of conflicts that Leslie is trying to diminish in her role as executive director of Seeds of Peace. So just quickly, Seeds of Peace, I'm going to read their mission statement, inspires and cultivates new generations of global leaders in communities divided by conflict. So we're talking about Israel and other parts of the Middle East. We're talking about India and Pakistan. We're talking about the Balkans. We're talking about Africa. We are talking about parts of the world where people are born and immediately taught to hate others, whoever the others are in any particular situation. And one of the main reasons I was so excited to have Leslie on the show today, first of all, is to give us all some freaking perspective about our own lives, okay, and showcase the great work that Leslie and her team are doing out there in the world. But there, in terms of how it relates to the leadership project, well, first of all, the organization that Leslie manages, the culture blends with the strategy. It has to, in order to create the impact that they want out there in these troubled parts of the world. And secondly, she and her team are in the business of shifting mindsets, which is a lot of what has to happen in the corporate sphere. Leslie and I have known each other for several years. I want to say maybe 4 or 5. We were introduced by a mutual friend who is a member of Leslie's board of directors. And so without further ado, Leslie, say hello to the Leadershifters.
Hello, everyone. And thank you, Shani, for that very kind introduction. It's an honor. First of all, it's great to see you again and great for us to be reconnected. And I'm really looking forward to having this conversation today. Thank you for having me on.
Likewise. I'm super excited. So Leslie, I don't know if anybody, you guys could see the background where Leslie is. Leslie is at camp in Maine, and camp is one of the highlights for Seeds. So Seeds is what they call the children and adolescents who are going up through the program. They come to Maine for 2 sessions of camp, right?
That's right.
Okay. And so that's Leslie is doing this podcast from camp in Maine, which is awesome. So you can see she's got her camp shirt on and everything.
Yeah. I only wish our internet up here in the woods was strong enough for me to be able to do this outside so you could really appreciate the beauty in which this work happens here every summer. Instead, you get my little cabin, but you get the feel of it.
Well, you know, cabin says camp to me.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So, you know, I want to talk about camp, but first, give us a little bit more context about what Seeds is and how you worked your way up from camp counselor to executive director.
Crazily. Sure, will do. So you gave a great introduction of Seeds of Peace, and it is fun for me to be able to have this conversation knowing who's around me and what's going on outside. Maybe we'll get some background noise in a little bit. Seeds of Peace was founded actually in 1993 by a journalist, an American journalist named John Wallach, who was working in the Middle East and to make a long story short, was deeply frustrated and, dare I say, disheartened by how little contact young Arabs and young Israelis had one another, with one another, and how they were just inheriting hatred, inheriting stereotypes, mm-hmm. inheriting difficult situations, but having zero opportunities for positive interaction. And John had this very bold vision to create opportunities where young people, he sort of wrote off the grown-ups at the time being and thought this next generation needs our investment in creating opportunities for them to connect as human beings. Because if anything's going to change the status quo, it's going to be them, and they need a chance to provide, to be in a space where positive relationships and positive interactions can be formed. And it couldn't happen there. And frankly, it still can't happen there. So that was the concept upon which Seeds of Peace was born, to create opportunities for young people from opposite lines of conflict to come together. What we do here at camp is very much the foundation of what has grown into a lifelong leadership development organization. Mm-hmm. We are bringing hundreds of young people here every summer from many of the places that you just mentioned, and including a new program for young people from across lines of difference here in the United States, which maybe we'll have time to say more about later, because
yes.
we have our own struggles here in this country, plenty of them as turns out. And we're creating and curating a very, very special experience that has a lot of intentionality behind it. So any ideas you have of summer camp and my cabin here and the lake outside and the bunks, it's all real. It's rest hour right now. That's why it's so quiet. But we have a thread of a conflict resolution curriculum that runs through what we do. Nothing that's happening here is normal, even though it would look like a normal summer camp. And we're just bringing motivated, talented young people together and giving them a chance to exist in a space together and a chance to learn about people that are different than them, that oftentimes come from such stark lines of conflict or stark lines of difference. These are people that would never find themselves together this summer or in a classroom or, you know, spending time together, let alone spending it in an environment like this where they're living together, eating together, engaging with one another in the arts and sports and waterfront activities, and also engaging daily in probably the most sacred aspect of our work, which is a dialogue program and a dialogue curriculum that is every day allowing various identities and struggles and narratives to come to the table and as a group process them.
Wow. And I'm assuming camp counselors are specially trained to facilitate those difficult conversations.
Yep. We have different levels of staff here at camp, from the traditional camp counselors to the facilitators that lead the dialogue program. And it sort of all adds up into the overall experience that we try to curate here. But, you know, we're allowing young people to bring their stories, bring their identities, like I said, bring their narratives to the table. And for us, it's just as much about sharing your own narrative as it is being exposed to and listening to the narrative of the other. We value listening a lot here. In fact, we have a saying that we share with the kids often that says, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. And if it was meant to be the other way around, it would have. And we can talk a lot about the sort of impact and success and, you know, things are certainly not perfect and we haven't brought world peace, although we're trying. But I think the exposure at this age and the ability to interact with narratives and people and cultures and religions that are different than your own, we don't have to agree at the end of the day. We don't have to write a peace plan by the end of our time together. But we have opened our minds so much to the narrative of another, the other, and that will forever stay with our participants in ways that we think will play out in the future.
Absolutely. And, you know, God, there's so many threads I could pull on right now.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, it's so fascinating to me. So, okay. So let me start with this one. In these conversations mm-hmm. where, the discussion?
Dialogue.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking elephants in the room get named, the stereotypes that they have of one another, what their parents and teachers told them to think of one another. Am I right?
In assuming Absolutely. That? Absolutely.
How does that play out?
There's no one way to answer that question, okay. But yes, I mean, we are also it's an opportunity, right? So you've got 16 chairs of 16 human beings sitting in a circle who, like us, in a safe space with professional facilitators, with the time and the motivation to engage in difficult conversations. And like I said earlier, people that really have would never otherwise find themselves in the same room together. So I think it plays out in a lot of different ways. I think that there is, and there's no one script and there's no one answer, because so much of it is about the individual experiences and what is brought out to the group. But what we do is create a safe, what our goal is to create, yes, a safe space where everyone's voices matter. And what's most important is that things get shared and things get processed, right? And it becomes a very difficult and challenging space. We go through all sorts of different emotions of anger and fear, and but there's so much learning that happens there, and so much exploration of humanity, right? So it's not about agreement necessarily, and it's not about reaching a conclusion. It's about widening our circle and widening our worldview a little bit, and understanding, peeling back various layers of the onion, and being exposed to versions of the story or versions of the other that you wouldn't learn from your own school or your own government. Right? It's creating opportunities for positive engagement and positive interaction. Even when it's hard, it's about the engagement. And that in and of itself is incredibly hard. And by the way, they're 15 years old, right? So we're asking brilliant 15-year-olds to travel thousands of miles across the world, leave home, you know, come to this crazy place in Maine, which looks nothing like, you know, the Middle East or India, Pakistan, and be willing to have conversations that their governments and leaders and parents and teachers haven't been able to have themselves. So we don't take it for granted, I guess.
I got to do a little sidebar here to my audience. So LeaderShifters, do you hear this? We avoid difficult conversations in the workplace like the plague, most of us. And one of my many missions is to take the stigma away from even giving feedback. Okay. And organizations in general, most people don't have the courage to name the elephants in the room, let alone sit in a room and hash it out until people do see the humanity in each other. And quite frankly, the model that they have here at Seas of Peace, we got to figure out how to bring that conflict resolution model into corporations, because if 15-year-olds can do it, for Christ's sake, like 30-year-olds and 50-year-olds and, you know, adults should be able to do this stuff. We just, it's so healthy. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm glad you used the word courage. That's a word we use a lot. Actually, our tagline is courage to lead change. And we talk a lot to the kids when they're here, because it's an important word, right? Reaching, doing things that feel courage, stretching outside your, being willing to engage in conversations that are hard and difficult it's an important tool and an important skill for all of us.
Otherwise, we continue to have misconceptions about each other and we create stories, and none of that helps anything. So, let's talk now a little bit about, so you're planting these seeds in your seed, if you will. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I love about it is, first of all, anybody who's been a seed, once they mature and sort of matriculate into the work world, they're going to have a skill set and a wisdom far beyond their years.
Yeah.
Whether it's here or overseas. So do you have a success story or two, obviously no names, where your team seeds go off and make a difference?
Yeah, so our view on this work is obviously a long-term one, right? Like no one's under the assumption that no one's under the assumption that we're gonna, you know, drastically change the world tomorrow. What we are interested in doing is creating a sort of pipeline of leadership development, right? So at a more macro level, our theory of change relies on having a really transformational personal experience here at camp at a young age, allowing that to feed into continued programming, continued leadership development back at home locally through university years. And then it sort of picks up again in the professional space where we are trying to link that transformational experience at a young age to wider, more societal change at a later age. And our approach to leadership evolves beyond just political leadership, although our founder dreamed of having future Palestinian and Israeli presidents come from here. Great, still great. But we're tracking leadership across a variety of sectors, including politics, law, business, education, direct conflict resolution, women's rights. And these are all I can give you countless examples in all of those arenas in which we see our alumni 15, 20, now 25 years later, who are carrying this, not just the skills that have gained through Seeds of Peace, but also the relationships that, by the way, make their work more complicated, but make their work more powerful. So one example is there's a kid who's no longer a kid anymore, who was a lead anchor on one of Israel's major news networks, who talks about how he covered instances of violence and much more in particular, not the last Gaza war, but many years ago, and how he covered it as a journalist differently than his colleagues, because for him, there were people in Gaza that he knew, and he just felt like he could relate in a much different way and tell the story. He was committed to telling the story in a different way. That is one example. Education is a great, great thread of Seeds of Peace. We are an education organization, so to see Seeds rising into positions of influence as teachers, as professors, who want to teach conflict and teach about others differently. A great story of a kid in Pakistan whose name is Qasim. I was a camper here about 15, 20 years ago, who started, who drafted a textbook, which is now being used in schools throughout India and Pakistan to teach the history of India and Pakistan side by side. So he didn't like the unilateral narratives. Right. So he wrote a book called The History Project, talking about all the major milestone moments in the history of relations between India and Pakistan, with India's version on one side and Pakistan version on the other side. So you can really like delve into the gray there. So I think this is the kind of challenging of the status quo that we want to see through our Seeds, people who are willing to tell stories differently, to teach differently, to lead businesses differently, and to bring the skills and the relationships that have been nurtured through their association with Seeds of Peace to the forefront in a variety of different ways. Mm-hmm. So there's no one answer, right. But there's many different answers. And to me, and probably to you too, that's leadership, I think, is being able to apply it in so many different contexts, and to bring it out in different ways and to apply it in ways that will impact others as well.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, I'm going to thank you many times for what you do, but even just hearing those stories, it's so inspiring, and the difference that you're making out there in the world, one seed at a time, one camp cohort at a time. And leadership is just about seeing other people as human beings and
absolutely,
and listening to other perspectives and being able to bring disparate points of view together and curate the best pieces of everything towards working towards a common goal. And absolutely, you guys are teaching that at camp and in the other programs. So I'd love to hear, and I think my listeners would
certainly
love to hear a little bit more about what you guys do at camp on kind of the team building side. Obviously the dialogues, that's some pretty serious stuff. And I want leadershifters, I want you to have more of those difficult conversations. And, you know, maybe we can figure out how to get some Seeds facilitators into your conference rooms to help.
Sure, I would love it.
But you know what? Because I know I do a ton of team building stuff that organizations can do lots of different things, and it brings out the inner child in us, which is open and curious and accepting and delighted and all that. So, what are some of the other things that the Seeds are doing at camp?
Yeah, so I mean, if you walked in off the street here, we'd look pretty much like your standard summer camp. You'd see kids on the tennis courts. You'd see kids swimming or maybe learning to swim. So I think team building happens in a variety of different ways. The groups and the time here, because it's so short, and because I told you already that the spaces we create are so rare, we're pretty determined to capitalize on the aspect of it. So I think team building happens at a lot of different levels. I think the same group that goes through the dialogue experience together is mostly in activities together also. So, you know, the same themes are reinforced on the soccer field when you're, you know, working together for something as simple as scoring a goal and maybe forgetting who's next to you and who your teammate is. And we're reinforcing sort of trust and communication and respect in every activity here. One of my favorite things happens out on the ropes course, which looks, you can imagine what a standard summer camp ropes like, but it is the foundation of the dialogue process, right? So it is the ability to sort of really physically let out and deal with the heaviness of patients and the realities. And there's a lot of connectivity between the group challenge staff and the facilitator, so that we're reinforcing the relationships that are developing, you know, or that are thriving in the dialogue space on, you know, 100 feet up in the air, and you're belaying one another. So there's no better metaphor, I think, for the team building that we're after than that group, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning, having some of the most difficult conversations they've had in their life, and maybe a few hours later to work together to accomplish that physical group challenge, or needing to belay the other in order to get up the wall, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, there's a this is our 26th summer, so we've had good time to sort of test model and mature it, I think. Mature and frankly, we've had no choice but to adjust Seeds as an organization, and certainly here at camp, to adjust to the external environment. In the 90s, when Seeds of Peace was founded mostly to work with Arabs and Israelis, we were on the verge of a peace process. Things, well, this was popular work. It was exciting for Israelis and Palestinians to be together. In today's world, that it's, unfortunately, it's not the case, which in my opinion makes this work more important, but has forced a healthy ways to mature and evolve what we're doing and how we're doing it, how we're adjusting to the pressures, how we're supporting kids in given the context from which they come. Yeah. Sort of answers your question. I don't know. And no. Outside of that, there's all the standard building things that happen at camp. You know, they're living together in shared bunks. We're living in music activities. Tomorrow's an arts day, which will follow onto the dialogue and create new forms of expression.
They can make each other friendship bracelets.
They could, or, you know, or we're expressing narratives and identities through new mediums. So, you know, it's coming out, and everything that we do here is those themes run through.
Yeah. I have such fond memories of summer camp myself. This is bringing such a glow to me right now, thinking about like the arts cabin and the activities we had at the lake, and we had color war. I'm not so sure color war is something. Do you guys do color war?
We do, but it's called games.
Okay, good.
And I was going to mention
the word
before,
war.
And it's sort of the last, no, we've just renamed it, but it has the same, actually color games. So this is our 26th summer. I've actually been here 21 of 26 summers, and color games never ceases to amaze me. It is the last 2 days of camp. And it has the most powerful sort of icing on the cake effect of everything that's happening here, and all of the difficult conversations and all of the questions that kids are both asking and wondering, and all their ideas of what they want to do differently and how they want to bring it back home, and sort of the intensity of color war, of just sort of creating a whole new identity and a whole and reinforcing the trust and the communication and the respect and the empowerment and the sort of, you know, we're in it together. It really has a magical component. Color war was powerful for me as a camper too. And it's sort of that times 100, given who's here and what they've been through together.
Yeah.
And what they're trying to build together. And it's fun.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Well, thank you for that. And you had alluded or mentioned before that a couple times that it started as with a mandate for Arab-Israeli conflict, and over time you guys have shifted to include some other conflict areas. How did that come about? Mm-hmm. I think there's more conflict areas than you could probably ever be involved in. How do you choose? Absolutely.
Unfortunately,
you know,
yes.
How and where to shift?
Yeah, I wish I had a perfect answer for that. So, yes, our mandate started with the Middle East, and I think, truthfully, I think it was working. We had a model that we thought could be applied in other places. One of the major criteria that we have used, as I said, the organization has grown in depth, right? So it's, we're committed to working with our seeds, as we call them, when they graduate camp, for many, 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 many after camp. We see camp as an entry point, and our work, frankly, really just begins when we send them home, which is one of the hardest parts of our job.
Yeah.
The other reason we're working, you know, we have always worked with the support of local governments and community organizations that can sort of give life to our kids in this work in a local context. So that certainly has to be the put in case. But since our model is camp plus everything that follows, working in places where we have a long-term impact, where we think that we can continue to support our kids in real ways. So we're currently, we're primarily in the Middle East. We have a smaller program in India and Pakistan. You are right that we worked in the Balkans and Cyprus over the years, and those alumni are still very much part of our alumni and professional programs. And we're growing this new work here in the United States, model in similar contexts, looking to build more lines of communication and of support across lines of difference in communities here in Maine, as well as in New York City, Syracuse, New York, Los Chicago.
Yeah, tell us more about what is happening here in the United States.
So, I mean, I've got an incredibly diverse group of kids here right now from all those places that I just mentioned, and I'm talking about diversity, religious diversity, racial diversity, gender diversity, socioeconomic diversity, educational disparity, and these are very real issues that our young people are dealing with today. And just like our model for the Middle East, there's not enough opportunities for positive interaction. There's not enough opportunities to get outside of your own bubble, to get outside of your comfort zone, and to build relationships, and which will hopefully turn into sort of action groups, if you will, to try to change that. So, you know, it's really our same model. We're doing our same bread and butter work, but trying to connect young people across all those lines of difference in those local cities. So we've been doing this work here in Maine actually for a very long time, and it's worked in exciting ways. I have some similar examples of young people who are sitting on the school board here in Portland, Maine, and really changing policy and leading in the way I want to see our kids lead. And so we're trying to bring it into new cities where we think we can have a similar impact, especially since, to state the obvious, there are so many things driving us apart today in this country. And so, you know, the work here is unfortunately very needed.
Absolutely. You know, one of the reasons I was curious to have you say more about what you're up to, sort of locally in the United States, is diversity and inclusion has become a bit of a hot topic, if you will, in corporate America, and a lot of companies pay lip service to it and check boxes. And one of my mottos here is, let's shift rhetoric to results. So let's stop talking about having more diversity, and let's stop talking about being more inclusive, and let's fucking do it, right? So just because we're recruiting more people of color or people with different religious and sexual preferences or whatever into our workplace doesn't mean that we're being inclusive of their view and their experiences and using all these rich filters to the advantage of the organization. And so I think, first of all, the work that you're doing will, again, translate into some wonderful leaders who get it before they even enter the workplace. And two, it's just food for thought for any leaders listening to this. Like, this is how diversity inclusion really happens. You get people together, you team build, you let them see each other as human beings who, of course, like, have unique experiences in life and different perspectives based on how we were raised, where we were raised, what our parents were like, what teachers we had, who our friends were, what state we grew up in. I mean, there's so many factors that influence who a person grows up to be, even if they're of the same race or religion or gender. Everybody has got diversity that we can appreciate more.
Absolutely. Yeah, and being willing to have difficult conversations and being willing to learn and engage and get to know somebody for who they are, not just the job they're doing today or tomorrow, and not just their job function, but, like, you know, who's there and what's your story, and being willing to explore all of that, I think will just support all of us in our quest to work together, develop relationships, you name it.
Absolutely. So one other question, I kind of want to switch gears a little bit to the culture that you create in your leadership team and your staff to be able to deliver on the strategy of Seeds of Peace. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a great question. So I'd like to think that the culture that we create in the workplace is not too dissimilar from the culture that we create in the work that we do, right? And I have to be able to hold myself to a mirror and hold my team to the mirror also, and, you know, make sure that we're willing to live by the same values that we ask the kids to live by, treat each other the way we ask the kids to treat each other, also be willing to have difficult conversations, right? And because that's going to make all of us work more effectively together, and that's going to develop the respect amongst us.
Yep.
This is hard work, right? So we're enmeshing ourselves in the lives of young people who become young adults, and you know, our life's work is to support them on this journey. It's meaningful work, and it's hard work, and it can be exhausting work. So we have to model that in our own workplace culture as well. We have to make room for that. We have to make room for processing sometimes, and room for understanding what's happening outside and how it's affecting what we bring to the office every day when I'm not in my lakeside location here, but back in New York City and pounding the pavement. And, yeah. You know, I think it's really creating, bringing those values into the day-to-day workplace and being willing to make time for that, even amidst the hustle and bustle of, you know, all of us are overworked, all of us have too much to do.
Yeah.
But slowing down and being willing to have the conversations that support the foundation have to be priorities. We have to, as leaders, I think we have to make time for that. Otherwise, our foundation will never be as strong as we want it to be.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned your values, and I jotted those down to share them with leader shifters as well, because I think they're fantastic. And some of them have really come up. Courage has come up a couple of times.
Courage, yep.
Respect. Critical thinking, right? You can recite these by heart.
No, go ahead.
Engagement and impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that everything that you do as a leadership team is founded, or, you know, that's the foundation upon which you build. And, you know, why do we have difficult conversations, right? Well, one, we value courage, so we make it safe to do that. Right, we're telling people this is what we want you to do, and then, and when you speak up and say something that might be unpopular, or you give constructive feedback, you're not punished for it, right?
So, right.
You know, it's kind of like that psychological safety aspect, and ultimately impact, right?
Yep.
If you guys can create the impact that Seeds yearns to create, if you're not doing that yourselves and
your
leadership,
ourselves,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and they're big words, right? Those are big values, but you know, and what we have to integrate them into our work routines and our the way we interact with one another and the way we approach and plan and execute our work.
Yep. So, what words of wisdom would you have for leader shifters? And I would say my audience is very diverse. Everything from the quintessential manager or leader in a Fortune 500 organization to folks working in startups and other entrepreneurial ventures to educators and healthcare workers and nonprofits. And they're all leaders in some way, shape, or form. Some of them have a title and work in the C-suite, and some of them are just aspiring to be leaders. So words of wisdom based on...
I hope this doesn't come out as too cliche, but given what our mission is and the work that we do here, I think my words of wisdom are to take the time to get to know your colleagues as human beings as well. And don't just limit your interactions to the, you know, to the emails and the, especially not to the emails, to the emails or even the phone calls or even the Skype calls. I mean, Skype sometimes if you're geographically, Skype is a gift when you're geographically torn apart, but,
yes,
you know, just take the time to have conversations and understand the human colleague, not just the professional colleague, understand what he or she is struggling with outside of work, what's in his or her background that makes him thrive or struggle in the workplace, because if you understand what's happening outside of the business transactions, then you can be a much more effective leader or friend or just general mentor. Everybody has more to them than just what we see, and so take the time to engage as a human being, and take the time to engage off email wherever possible. How's that?
Absolutely, I love it. It's music to my ears, actually.
Good.
So how can people reach you? Or reach Seeds of Peace,
yeah.
Support you guys. Let's have it.
Thank you. So we have great content on our website at seedsofpeace.org. You can follow there's a blog, a daily blog from camp there. There's a lot of information on all of our programs that happen beyond camp. And you are welcome to reach out to me. I'm Leslie@seedsofpeace.org. I'm pretty easy to find. I would love to hear any feedback or get you connected to any aspects of our work that interests you. We're on Facebook, obviously, but the website's a good starting point. You can follow us here at camp and follow some of our impact stories there as well and see the work that we do beyond camp.
Okay. And I know it probably is uncomfortable for you to do this, but I'm going to do it. support Seeds of Peace. Oh,
thank you. This, yes, you can do that on our website too.
This is a transformational organization, friends, and they are up to work that is for the greater good that we can't even imagine the domino effect. I mean, Leslie is someone who I have so much respect for and envy in many ways, because Leslie wakes up every day, at least this is how I think of you, and like knows that she's making a big, important difference in the world. And that is just, that's a beautiful thing. So
thank you. I appreciate that. And it was a gift to be able to tell a little bit of our story here today. So thank you.
It was amazing. So thank you so much for joining us. By way of wrap up, I just want to say to the leadershifters who have joined us today, thank you for joining Leslie and myself today to learn more about Seeds of Peace and how you can apply some of the very same principles that Seeds is using with teenagers from parts of the world where they are taught to hate and in many cases want to kill each other, okay? Take these words of wisdom, these kernels of wisdom, and let's incorporate them into our own lives personally and in our workplace, and we're gonna have a better world as a result. Conflict resolution, difficult conversations, and one of the basics I always talk about as part of the leadership project is the ABCs. Ask questions, right? Versus don't talk too much, right? Ask the questions. Be human. We nailed that one today.
Yep.
And C, check your assumptions, which is really what your work is all about.
Absolutely.
The assumptions we have about people that are other from us are 99.9% of the time wrong. So ABC's leadershifters, seedsofpeace.org is how you can reach Leslie, learn more about the organization, donate to the organization if you'd like to support them financially or in other ways that you can serve. And we will be back next week with another edition of the Leadership Show. In the meantime, keep doing what Leslie does, which is wrapping your culture and your strategy into one beautiful package of impact, and let us know what your thoughts are on any of our social media platforms. This is Shaney signing off from another episode of the Leadership Show. Mwah. Thank you. Thank you, Leslie. It was awesome.
Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.